Let us open up the Word of God to the book of the Psalms, Psalm 32. Psalm 32, a psalm of David, Maskil. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. The text for this communion sermon is taken from this psalm, Psalm 32, verse 7. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. Boys and girls, do you ever hide? I think you do. Maybe when you play the game hide and seek, you go and find a secret place, and you wait for your friend to come and find you. Or maybe you hide when you've done something wrong, and you're afraid of your mother's eyes, that you go and hide somewhere. Sometimes we need to hide. When a storm is coming and when the sky looks dark, yeah, then we know we have to go and find a place of safety. Well, the Bible tells us of the only hiding place, the best hiding place for our soul. Do you know where it is? It's in the Lord Jesus. That's what the Bible tells us. That's also what the Lord's Supper tells us. And if it's right, in this week of preparation for the Lord's Supper, you have seen it maybe for the first time. But if you've seen it for the first time, you've probably discovered again by the blessed working of the Holy Spirit that you need this hiding place. And so the question really that comes to us this morning is, where are you hiding for eternity? David says, I'm hiding in the Lord Jesus Christ. And David wants the poor and needy to say it with him this morning. Thou art my hiding place. Our theme is Christ, my hiding place. Christ, my hiding place. We'll see four things. First of all, the need for this hiding place. Secondly, a description of this hiding place. Thirdly, the sheltering in this hiding place. And fourthly, the songs in this hiding place. Christ, my hiding place. First of all, the need. Secondly, a description. Thirdly, sheltering. And fourthly, the songs in this hiding place. David wants sinners to know in this psalm of the blessedness of forgiveness. There is nothing better than forgiveness of sins. That's how he began his psalm. How blessed is he whose trespass hath freely been forgiven. No, on earth there is no person more blessed than this. The man with all the riches is not more blessed. The man with all the pleasures of this world is not more blessed. The man with great power in this world is not more blessed. No, only those are blessed whose trespass has freely been forgiven by God. Of course, David not only tells us about this blessedness, but he tells us about his foolishness of keeping guilty silence, of not acknowledging his sin and confessing his sin. Yeah, he tried to cover up his own sin, but that does not give relief. Only the Lord can give relief through confession and through submitting to his justice and seeking his mercy. And David tells us about that too, that he confessed his sin and the Lord forgave his sin. And because this forgiveness is so blessed, it is so special, David says in verse 6, this is what you should seek for. So let the godly seek this time and again. Then the flood of great water shall not come nigh unto him. As David may be reminded of the flood that came in Noah's day. I think so. No, that was not just a little bit of water that we could shrug our shoulders at, though. That was a flood of great waters. Why did that flood come? As a judgment for sin. Because of what God saw in man, and what he saw in man was not good. What did he see? That every imagination of his heart was only evil continually. That's why. Sin deserves punishment. Sin deserves the punishment of God, the punishment of his wrath. And that's what God said to Noah. That's why he was going to destroy the world with the flood. And David also realized that sin deserved punishment, that when Nathan told him that parable of those two men, the one who was rich and had many sheep, and the other who was poor and had only one ewe lamb, David nonetheless came to the conclusion that that man who had stolen and who had slaughtered that sheep of that poor man, he deserved to die. But then Nathan said, the finger is actually pointing at you, David. And he began to see what he deserved. Sin deserves punishment. I realize in the Lord's Supper sermon, I do not have time to draw much further comments on this, but let me ask this. Have you come to see this? Have you been uncovered to this? Also in this week of preparation for the Lord's Supper, dear people of God, your sin deserves God's wrath for not honoring him. For not loving your neighbor, for that wicked thought, that wicked word, that wicked deed. Have you also come to see it in your life, that every imagination of your heart is only evil continually? Maybe you thought you would get better, but you found you've only gotten worse. And where can I go with my sins then? Have you come to ask that? Then you need a hiding place. Well, is there a place like that? And what is it like? Well, let's look at that secondly. A description of this hiding place. Yes, we need to know where this hiding place is and if it is a good hiding place. And then we can say at least four things about this hiding place. For one thing, we see that it is a strong hiding place. You know, there are certain places that provide shelter from storm. But the shelter does not hold up in the storm. Like some places in the midst of a hurricane or a tornado, that people had thought this will shelter us, but it turned out that it was not strong enough and it collapsed. But Christ is a strong hiding place.
Noah's ark was able to bear the winds and the waves that all God's anger unleashed upon it. And it didn't crumble. It didn't break apart. Christ is a strong hiding place. He says it too. All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. There's power He has. And He has power on earth to forgive sins. And that's also what He says at the table to the troubled soul. My body was so broken. My blood so shed for a full forgiveness of all our sins. Yes, the sinner who shelters in Christ has a strong hiding place. Secondly, He is the only hiding place. David does not say, Thou art one of my hiding places. No, the other refuges, the other little refuges, they have been destroyed when the Lord uncovered him to his sin. And he was left to seek the only hiding place. There was only one left to him. Did that also happen in this past week? All other refuges were stripped away. And you could not hope in what you had done. And you could not hope in your past. And you could not hope in the experiences, how precious, however they have been. And you could not hope in your prayers. God's people know what it is to pray and to cry, but you cannot hide under them. Not the labors of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. Has the Lord been breaking away at those refuges of lies, so that you're left with the only hiding place revealed by the Father in the Lord Jesus Christ, the hiding place for sinners? Or as Peter says, there is none other name among men given under heaven whereby we must be saved. Thirdly, He is a saving hiding place. That's what a hiding place is to do, isn't it? It is to save and to deliver people that otherwise would perish. Now, that's what Noah found in the ark. Whatever other refuges Noah's cousins had made, they would not save. But Noah was safe in the ark. Safe from the wrath of God. And David says that in our text, Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. The sinner that is safe, that is hidden in Christ, is safe. He's safe from hell. He's safe from the wrath of God. He's safe from the condemnation. He's safe from perdition. He's safe in Christ. Now someone says, but does not the Christian experience troubles in this life? Yes. But those troubles cannot really hurt him. For all things work together for good in this life. That's what the Lord has promised and pledged. They are safe in Jesus for time and eternity, even in the sicknesses, even in the trials of this life. And there are times when the soul can feel that peace too. Even though the storm is raging, there can be peace. So He's the strong hiding place. He's the only hiding place. He is the saving hiding place. And fourthly, He is a near hiding place. He's near. The Lord Jesus is near with His salvation. Is that not what David found when he was uncovered to his sin? Then he could acknowledge his sins. I have sinned. And at that moment, the Lord could assure him by the prophet Nathan that his sins had been forgiven too. That at that moment of confession, he was safe in the hiding place. If a sinner sees how near his danger is, then he needs a hiding place that's near at hand. That's what David says elsewhere in Psalm 34, verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. Or as David says in another psalm, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him. And Paul will say, He is not far from every one of us. Is there someone here this morning who needs this hiding place? He is near. He is at hand. He comes so close in His Word that on the last day you will not be able to say, if only the Lord had come so close to me with his hiding place, then?
He's near now. The door is right there. Precious, don't you think?
Such a hiding place is near, and that is he not suited to you, dear troubled soul, you who have found no good in yourself, you who are pained over that sin and your sin, that you've sinned against a good-doing and holy God, and you cannot stay where you are.
Someone says, but how do I come to hide in him? Well, that's our third point. Sheltering in this hiding place.
Sheltering. Yes, it's not enough to see the hiding place. You must also enter into the hiding place. That's how it was for Noah and his family. The day came that they had to enter in. It was not enough to have heard about the ark, and it was not enough even to see the ark. They had to enter in, even though their neighbors would scorn them and mock them. But enter they must. How did that happen? Well, Hebrews 11 says that he was moved by fear. Yes, he was moved by fear. He feared God. He had a holy respect for God and His Word. And God had said that He would destroy the world with a flood. And Noah believed and trembled, and so he built. And when God said, enter into the ark, then he entered, step by step, in faith. Or in the case of the manslayer. Yeah, the Lord also tells us of the manslayer who had slain a fellow Israelite without meaning to. There was no anger in his heart. There was no hatred towards them. But because of an accident, he wounded someone that he would die. And then the manslayer could escape. But then let him go quickly. Let him not stall his escape, and let him not invent his own hiding place, but let him flee to the city of refuge. No, let him not stop and rest, for only inside the city of refuge is he safe. Only when the gates of the city close behind him, he is safe. And is that not a picture of the gospel? The manslayers, who are sinners, not just by accident, but sinners because of their depraved hearts. Sinners who are described in Romans 3 as a depraved people, who show by their words and their deeds that they are wicked and ungodly, whose sins are like scarlet and who are like red like crimson. But the gospel says there is a hiding place in the Lord Jesus. But then you must not stay where you are. Then you have to go to the Lord Jesus. Then you must not just linger by the door and not linger by the gate and say, well, maybe I can have the world and I can have it. No, I must enter in the door. The sword of God's justice hangs over you otherwise. It's ready to slay you otherwise. No, it will not do to say, but I go to church. And it will not do to say, I'm close to the hiding place. No, the soul must flee into Christ. Someone says, but may I come? Yes, there's plenty of room by Him. But is the hiding place not closed to someone like me? No. Christ's arms are stretched open wide. He says that in His Word, doesn't He? That while it is the day of grace, all day long I stretch out my hands unto a gainsaying and disobedient people, to great wretches. But how can Christ hide me from the wrath of God? Because He hath borne the wrath of God in the place of sinners. He is the ark. When the storm of God's fury unleashed, then it unleashed upon the ark, and the floods pounded, and the rain poured of it, and the billows of God's wrath beat upon the ark. But what happened? He bore it. In the words of our Lord's Supper form, He bore the burden of God's wrath, under which we should have perished everlastingly. He bore it, so that whoever is in the hiding place does not need to bear it. So that those who hide in Christ may be unharmed. They may be safe for time and eternity. Safe in the ark of Jesus. Safe in the rock of ages cleft for sinners. There is full safety
And God's people can feel it too. So I must enter. Why not enter? Why not come with Esther saying, if I perish, I perish, but enter I must. I will perish at his feet if I must perish, but no one has ever perished at his feet. No one has ever perished at the cross. Indeed, the opposite is true. There is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And then our text speaks about the songs in this hiding place. Our fourth point. At the last words of our text, thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Now, that's understandable, isn't it? That you begin to sing as David, also in Psalm 40, for instance, who cried to the Lord after he tells us that he had been in a horrible pit and was in the miry clay, but the Lord heard him and delivered him and set his feet upon a rock. And what does he say then? A new and joyful song of praise. He taught my thankful heart to raise. That's fitting, isn't it? That I begin to sing his praises. But when we listen to David in our text, he doesn't say, now I will sing a song of deliverance. But thou wilt compass me about with songs of deliverance. God will see to it that David is surrounded with songs of deliverance. In other words, David will not be the only one in that hiding place. There will be others there. As the people of Israel, delivered from the house of bondage, are brought across the Red Sea, and on the other side they see their deliverance and they sing the songs of salvation. What a humbling thing that must have been for people maybe who thought, while they were in Egypt and in that house of slavery and bondage, so bruised and battered and beaten, they thought, will I ever escape? Will ever I come out of this alive? But the Lord not only lets one Israelite escape, but many are allowed to escape and are delivered. And that's what David confesses, that not just one will taste of pardon, but many. And there will be others singing the song of salvation in that hiding place. After all, is God not worthy of it, that there are many? And is God not worthy of it that He is praised? Humbling, isn't it? When you've been drawn to the Lord, but when others have been drawn to the Lord too. When you've experienced mercy, but others have experienced mercy too. Is that not a double joy? That's what David looks forward to. Sometimes David must have experienced too that he was surrounded not by songs, but he was surrounded by sighs. Who will show us any good? But David looks forward to a new day when there will be no more sighs, but songs of Moses and of the Lamb. It's a song that they begin to sing here already. Worthy is the Lamb. After all, it's in His blood and righteousness that they have found pardon, and it's Him that they need, and it's Him they desire to love, and it's Him they cannot do without, and that's why they cannot stay away from where He is, also at the table. After all, at the table, He doesn't say, no, you cannot come to me. First, improve yourself. First, when you've learned to pray better, then you can come. First, reform your life, and then you can come. No, he says, come to me with your guilt, with your lost life. Hide yourself by me. And is that not the prayer of the needy soul? Is that not the way to come to the table of the Lord this morning? Hide me. Oh, my Savior, hide till the storm of life is past. Safe into that haven, guide. Oh, receive my soul at last. Amen. Let us give thanks. O Almighty, merciful God and Father, we render Thee most humble and hearty thanks that Thou hast of Thy infinite mercy given us Thine only begotten Son for a mediator and the sacrifice for our sins, and to be our meat and drink unto life eternal, and that thou givest us lively faith, whereby we are made partakers of such great benefits. Thou hast also been pleased that thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, should institute and ordain his holy supper for the confirmation of the same. Grant, we beseech thee, O faithful God and Father, that through the operation of thy Holy Spirit, the commemoration of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ may tend to the daily increase of our faith and saving fellowship with him, through Jesus Christ thy Son, in whose name we conclude our prayers, saying, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.